It was just another creative outlet. I've always been involved in art in some way, so sewing was just a natural outlet for that.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. On this week's show is Lauren Taylor. One thing I learned about this talented seamstress is our relationship with Google is different. I use Google to learn how to do things, but Lauren, she was asked by Google to be the expert. More on that later. Lauren lives in Nashville, but was in town for a workshop. My lovely wife has been down to Nashville for a few classes, and I was able to recruit her to drive up to Paducah to teach one at our fine public library. After the class finished, we ate at Midtown Market, and she got a tour of the Quilt Museum before sitting down for the interview. Lauren was only 5 or 6 years old when she first started sewing. She said her mother had a sewing machine in the bedroom. She would make things like curtains and bedroom furnishings. She also made dresses for her for Christmas and Easter.
So I was always around it, and I would always hear her machine going. And I guess I just naturally wanted to try it because my mom did it. I would go into her room when she wasn't in there and take things out of the sewing cabinet and like sit on the floor and sew and then just leave the pins on the floor. And they got mad enough at me that I got my own sewing box. So I stopped taking her stuff.
Lauren had her own sewing box, but she wasn't quite ready to see herself as a seamstress, though. Her skills had some evolving to do.
From 5 to like 12 or 13, I knew how to do some hand sewing, but it was mostly like making little things for my toys.
And then her early teenage years. Lauren said during that time she was really small. It was about then when she was interested in wearing band t-shirts. She would buy a shirt, but it would fit like a dress. However, she found a life hack.
I figured out, I think it was like in an internet forum, someone was like, oh, well, you know, you can sew that and make it smaller. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So that's when I started using the machine, because I would do it by hand. And my mom told me the machine would be faster. She never showed me how to use the machine. She literally just said, oh, it's already threaded. Like, you can figure it out. And then when I eventually used up all the thread and asked her to rethread it, she said, oh, well, there's numbers on the machine. Like, you can figure out how to thread it. Just look at the user manual, which sounds kind of, some people are kind of horrified when I tell them that. They're like, your mother didn't even show you how to use the machine. But I think it gave me a good, like, confidence boost. Before I was 20, sewing was one of those things that I did if it needed to be done, but it wasn't necessarily like, oh man, I can't wait to like work on a project today. It was more of like, oh, these pants are too long. Yeah, that's fine. I'll just hem them. It's not a big deal. But then once I learned to make stuff from scratch, it became more of like an interest for me rather than just like a way to solve a problem.
Not only is she a distinguished seamstress, she also is a talented knitter. And although most of her sewing skills came self-taught, she had a teacher for knitting. She said she'd been wanting to learn how to knit for quite some time. She was able to crochet. She said she kind of liked it, but she wasn't able to really become proficient at it. She has, however, become proficient at knitting, and it all started with riding a bicycle.
My cycling group was having a cycling meetup, and this woman had just moved to town and she was a cyclist and she was looking for friends, and she mentioned that she knitted, and I just zeroed in on her at lunch. I was like, do you want someone to like knit with you? Will you teach me how to knit? Like, where do you live? Oh, you live in East Nashville? I live in East Nashville too. Let's hang out, let's knit together. And I just kind of like shoehorned her into it. And she taught me. I picked up on it really quickly thanks to my background in crocheting, and she was just excited to have like a new friend. So originally it was just like she was going to teach me how to knit. We met at this coffee shop and she taught me and we sat and knitted. And when it was time to leave, I was like, well, I thought this was really fun. And if you want to do this regularly, like I would meet you every single week and knit with you. And so that just became a thing that we did for like 4 or 5 years. Every single week we would meet and we would knit and we'd catch up on like what had gone on in the week. And we became really good friends that way. And she taught me everything that I needed to know to become a confident knitter. Like, there's definitely things I've taught myself since she moved away. And I haven't seen her. She actually passed away last year, but she basically taught me everything that I needed to know to be the kind of knitter who could like figure things out on their own and learn in their own way. And yeah, it was just a really lovely gift to get that kind of like teaching from someone.
She wanted to compare knitting and sewing. The first thing she said was knitting is not as portable. Taking a machine in public isn't quite as doable as a couple of needles and yarn. Also, she told me in some ways, sewing is easier to fix a mistake because the sewer can more simply rip out certain things and fix them.
But if you rip the entire thing, if you like knit a sweater, for example, and say it like does not fit you at all, you can literally unravel the whole thing, roll it back into a ball, and knit something else with the yarn. Like it's never a permanent unless you want it to be. But even people go to the thrift store and buy sweaters and unravel them. I mean, a new sweater. And the only limitation they have is the yardage of the like amount of yarn that's in the sweater, basically, that they've unraveled. With sewing, it's more permanent because you've already cut the pieces. So if you cut them wrong, or if like if you didn't cut it on like according to the pattern, or you cut it too small, or you like cut something off, you can't really like, not without a visible patch.
As far as the learning process goes, in her opinion, sewing may be a little easier than knitting.
But I think that knitting is easier to get better at because there's less involved in it than, like there's less things to learn than it is. Like with knitting, there are literally only two stitches that you do. There's a knit stitch and a purl stitch. And every stitch is a variation of that in some way. Mm-hmm. And that's how you make lace and cables and do like different color work and stuff. And with sewing, it's not that simple. That it's not a variation on like two things. There's like, you could literally sew for your entire life and learn a new thing every day and die not knowing everything that there is about sewing. And granted, I don't think you'd learn everything there is to know about knitting, but I think it's easier to become proficient in knitting than it is with sewing, just because there's, I think the skills build on themselves a little more than sewing does, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference personally?
I mean, sewing will always be my first love. But I specifically picked up knitting because I wanted something that would take me away from my machine, because I did not, it's kind of a bummer that it's not portable, that sewing isn't portable. So knitting comes with me when I meet with friends, like at a bar, or if I'm sitting in the park, you know, I want to sit outside. It travels with me when I travel to teach workshops. It goes with me to the couch so that I can watch TV. Makes me feel, it's like the only reason why I will watch TV is because I know I can knit, because otherwise I'm one of those people who falls asleep when they try to watch TV and movies. It makes it easier for me to listen to like a podcast or justify like sitting on the couch and reading a book, as if I'm knitting while I'm doing it, I feel like I'm getting something done. So it's definitely, and I feel like there's less, knitting is so, it has so much repetition to it that it's very calming and it's very therapeutic. And it also involves less thinking than sewing does, because you're not getting up and down and like doing a new thing each time. You're just doing the same thing over and over again. So sometimes if I'm stressed or if I just need to shut my brain off because it's like moving too fast, knitting is really good for that. Especially if you have a super easy project that doesn't require like reading a chart.
Often it is said, those who can't do, teach. Well, as has already been established, Lauren is skilled. I mean, she sat across the table from me wearing an outfit that was handmade. In fact, she told me that 99% of her wardrobe is made by her own two hands. So she can, without a doubt, do. But she also teaches.
I got this weird idea in my head that it would be fun to teach classes. And I think it was when I started getting better at sewing after practicing it for so long. I think I liked reading people's tutorials, and I liked making my own tutorials. And that might have had something to do with me like, oh, you know, maybe I could teach this in person.
So she started out at the Nashville Community College, but it was not a good fit for her. They want you to commit to 6 to 12 weeks, one night a week, from 6 to 9 p.m. Most of the students are just leaving work and are arriving at an adult ed building for 3 hours. She didn't say it, but it was kind of implied. The energy just wasn't present for those class settings. It wasn't her style. But she found a way that was much more enjoyable for her. It started by making friends with a woman who owns a studio in Brooklyn. Lauren asked her if she would ever take guest teachers there. And this Brooklyn studio owner said,
Yeah, let's do it. So I went up there like 6 months later and taught a pants workshop, and it was really fun. And I had a really, really good time. I had some really lovely students. Most of the students I'm still in touch with, actually. And it was just a good kickoff. I'm really fortunate that my first like big major teaching experience was with this person in particular. Her studio in Brooklyn is called Workroom Social. And the first time I went up there, she told me that her philosophy on running classes is like, yeah, it's super important that the students learn something. And it's very important. That's why they're there. But I think more importantly than that is that they enjoy their experience and they have a good time and they feel like they got what they came there for. So my classes, like I learned that from her and I worked with her a lot, like teaching, I would teach the class and she would assist me. And I just learned a lot that way from how to run a class. So, I mean, I do want my students to learn and I want them to get a lot of information out of the class, but above and beyond that, I want them to just have a good time. And I feel like a lot of teachers will just kind of go into like the learning side of it and not the other side. And mm-hmm. people get stressed and they get tired, and try to keep my classes like really fun and high energy and like, mm-hmm. oh, we're just all here to hang out. And look, we've also made something. How cool is that? So I'm really fortunate that I started my like career with this person, because I think that's the way to do classes, is just have a good time.
Lauren shared an interesting story about one of her workshops at the Brooklyn studio. The night before the class started, she and the owner reviewed the names of the people in class, all women, as usual. So they thought. The next morning, Lauren goes into the studio about 45 minutes early.
And there was a guy in there. Jennifer's already there, and she said, "Hey, Lauren, this is Stacy. Stacy is one of your students." So, nothing wrong with there being a guy there, but if he had told us, then we could have made sure to get him a male pattern to use, you know, instead of having, because we only had female pattern. And he was totally a good sport about it. He was like, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'll just make these for my wife." And we're like, "Great, cool." So class starts, and everybody, like, tries on their jeans, and we pick our sizes, and we cut our fabric, and get our fabric marked, and it's like halfway through the first day, it's like time to start sewing. And so we get all the machines out and we thread the machines, everyone's wound bobbins, and Stacy sits down and he was like, "I don't know how to do this." And I said, "Oh, you've never used one of these machines before?" And he goes, "Well, I've never used a machine before." And I just said, "Stacy, really?" didn't think to say anything up to that point. And we have so much on the class listings that say you should know how to use a sewing machine, you should know how to use a sewing pattern. But when you get a student who shows up that doesn't know how to do that, I mean, I forgot to mention, Stacy flew up from Atlanta to take the workshop. So it's not like he like came in from like down the street. And even though like, "Oh, wow, you were supposed to know how to use a machine and you don't. Well, you're here, so we kind of have to work with what we have." And so Stacy got a crash course in using a sewing machine. 10 minutes later, he started working on his jeans. And let me tell you this, Stacy finished his jeans. They looked great. They were not perfect. Nobody's jeans are perfect. But they looked really, really good, and like shockingly good for someone who had never sewn before that weekend. He took them home and they fit his wife and she wore them. So I like to use him as an example when I have students who say that they're scared to make jeans or they feel timid and they're like, "Yeah, you know, I've only been sewing for a couple years. I don't know if I can do this." And I'm like, "Let me tell you about Stacy." Because if this guy can do it, anybody can. So that's Stacy is my favorite story, because we taught him how to sew and he made jeans in one weekend.
So about Google, that seems like a good place to end this episode.
Yeah, they have a little maker space in their facility, and they encourage employees to learn things and to be creative. And so I had a student in one of my jeans workshops in Brooklyn who worked at Google. And she asked me if I wanted to come teach a class at Google. And so I taught people how to make jeans at Google. It was wonderful.
Many thanks to Lauren for joining me for an episode after a day of teaching a class at the McCracken County Public Library. Tommy Stewart, also known as Thomas Dean Stewart, also known as a student of light, took some great photos of her during this class and afterwards. Check out the Instagram account at somethingfromnothing to see them. This has been Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Taylor Inman provided some editorial notes on this episode that's hosted and produced by yours truly, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.